Hello and welcome to Growth Coaching International's Coaching in Education podcast. I'm your host, Richard Reid, and I'm delighted that you have tuned into our conversation today. Over the years, I've had the privilege of leading three primary schools based here in Northern Ireland. All three were relatively small, therefore I always had a teaching responsibility for 2 or 3 days every week, and for a number of those years I taught the primary 7 class. I always enjoyed the spoils of the final primary year group, such as the residential school trip and the end of school leavers assemblies. However, the huge challenge every year was supporting the pupils as they transitioned out of primary and into secondary education. This was a huge leap, and pupils and their families were understandably anxious around this period of transition. As school leaders, we want to provide the best possible support in these situations. And so, if you are likely to be in that position, then this episode is definitely for you. Today, I'm joined by Rachel Thornton, Deputy Head of Whangarei Boys High School in New Zealand. Rachel's story will resonate with all of those educators out there who are looking for an impactful way to help students transition through a particularly challenging stage in their educational journey. Rachel, it's a pleasure to have you join me on the podcast today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. Rachel, could you kick things off maybe by sharing a little flavour of your journey through education so far and how you arrived at Whangarei Boys High School?
Sure. So I spent my childhood in a small town where there was one high school, a couple of primary schools and an intermediate. So I sort of experienced growing up where everyone knew everyone, and it made it really easy going to high school because you knew what was happening and you pretty much knew a lot of the teachers already as well. In my secondary years, I moved to Whangarei, which would be considered a small city, but definitely larger than the town I grew up in. So from there, I finished my schooling up here and then I continued on and I trained to be a teacher myself and started here at Whangarei Boys High School as a fresh beginning teacher back in 2005. So this is my 20th year of teaching now. So throughout my time here, obviously I've been a classroom teacher, I've been a sports coach, and I've had a number of other roles within the school, leadership roles, with literacy leader, what we called a whānau leader, so that was like a house group that they I looked after. And then I moved into becoming a year-level dean, and I spent a number of years as a year-level dean. And then we have a system here called kahui ako, and I became what's called an across-school teacher. So that's where I work in a number of different schools, right from early childhood right up to secondary education. Before What 3 years ago now, I became was appointed as a deputy principal. So that's been my education through here at Boys High.
I'm thinking through all of the different lists of things that you've achieved in that same geographical area, and I'm trying to think: is there anything you haven't done yet? Almost, it's tremendous. But it's lovely to be, I suppose, you know, well rooted where you are, and the experience that you've had over those years in a variety of different roles is just superb. Rachel, as you know, that the focus of our podcast series is coaching in education. So could you share with us, you know, how did you become interested in coaching? You know, was there a specific person or maybe, you know, a book that you've read out there that just really inspired you to give it a go?
Coaching is something that I guess I always just kind of did naturally. I've come from a very sporting family. My father was a teacher as well, and he was also one of the coaches of volleyball when I grew up. And I saw a lot of those connections that he made through coaching and how they went across into the classroom. So when I became a teacher, I also did some volleyball coaching and some other coaching as well myself. And again, just the relationships that you can form with those students and being able to connect with them in a different way was just so powerful.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I'm noting down there, you know, as you respond, and that keyword relationships, you know. So in those early days, even in the sporting world of coaching, you were able to notice the importance of relationships, and the lovely word you use there is that connection, you know, being able to connect with students, which is lovely. Rachel, you have a good deal of experience working within a community of learning, or to give it its proper title, as you've mentioned already, kahui ako. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that properly. Can you firstly explain to our listeners, and I'm thinking particularly of those folks maybe just not familiar with the New Zealand system, what kahui ako means?
Sure. So kahui sort of means a group or a group of people or just a group in general. And ako means reciprocal learning. So everyone's the teacher and the learner. So kahui ako system was set up here in New Zealand as a group of education and training providers that form around young people. And what they do is that they help with their learning pathways to ensure that they reach their full potential. So all around the country, there is kahui ako in different areas. And what tends to happen is that they group the early childhood educators right through primary school into intermediate and high school in the ones that would tend to follow that pathway through. So if you started and if you lived in one particular area, you would then go to this intermediate and then on to this particular high school. And so as within the kahui ako, we all kind of met together and we have different achievement challenges depending on where you live. So where we are here in Whangarei, we're a little bit different because we didn't have what's called zoning here, and it pretty much meant that most of our students would go to any school in the area. So the Northland community, we decided to have a giant hub where all of the schools would connect together as well, looking at wellbeing. And that was sort of the umbrella under which the ideas that we've been looking at with coaching has come from, is looking at wellbeing of students transitioning through schools.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. And just as you explain, you know, kahui ako, the idea of these schools coming together is terrific. And immediately I'm thinking about schools, well, UK, but particularly Northern Ireland. I mean, we would have clusters of schools, but it would be clusters of similar schools. So it might be, you know, a number of primaries would get together, or it might be a number of post-primaries, or maybe a number of special schools. But I love that idea where you're going across all of those age groups. So it's that pathway right through from the very, very early years, right through to post-primary and beyond. And I can imagine there's a lot of learning. You talk about across school teachers. I think that's a lovely phrase. So obviously, when we were planning this podcast, Rachel, the bulk of your involvement with coaching, therefore, in education in recent years has been through kahui ako. Can you share with us exactly how does coaching fit into your community of learning and things like, you know, who's involved, you know, and what do they do? And I suppose most importantly, what sort of positive impact has coaching had?
Sure. So if we start with a little bit of the history, I guess, when I was an across school teacher, one of the things that we noticed is some of our schools here are what we call area schools. So they start in year one and they go right through up to year 13. And we were talking at one of our wellbeing meetings about how a lot of our students having to transition from primary school to intermediate school for 2 years and then on to secondary school, there's a lot of drop off, I guess, in their connection to the school and their wanting to attend and a lot of other things as well. So we wanted a way to bridge that. And speaking with these the area school teachers, they weren't seeing that same disconnect. And I think because they went all the way through with the one school. So myself and another across school teacher, we did a pilot, I guess, where we got some of our at-risk year six students. So year six is the last year of primary school. And we had some of that, what we considered at-risk students when speaking to their school. And we got some of our year 10 students who were second year of high school. And we got them just to meet together, did no training for them, but we just introduced them to each other and got them to meet on a regular basis for a term. And they really enjoyed it. Like, the feedback that we got from talking to those boys was amazing. And we particularly picked those year groups because we knew that when those year sixes started at high school, those year 10s were going to be in their last year. So that's what our prefects who do a lot of the mentoring at school. So we picked those groups and it was really positive. The feedback, the boys loved talking to the high school boys. And this year I've actually done some catch up and found out from them what they thought of it at the time. But one of the things that the next year I actually became a deputy principal and I wanted to be able to take this on further. I wanted to be able to develop it. And we really looked at how could we train our year 10 boys to actually be able to have those conversations and actually connect with those students in a more meaningful way. And that's when we saw that the education group over here in New Zealand were doing some work around students coaching students. So myself and one of my year level deans, we went down and we trained to be able to coach the coaches, I guess, teach the coaches. And since then, we train our coaches in year nine. So our year nine students that come in straight from intermediate, where they've experienced leadership, they've had all these potential leadership roles, and they get to high school and it's kind of like, nope, you're the bottom of the food chain again. So, you know, we thought let's try and actually keep building on that instead. We trained a group of them in year nine, and then in year 10, they have then gone back again to those same kahui ako schools and worked with the year 10 students. And then we thought that for this to be powerful, impactful, we needed to continue that. So the next year, those as they grew older and they changed schools, we've actually continued that coaching. So this is our first year where we've gone into the intermediates and taken those same coaches to meet with those year six, what were year six students. But I guess in terms of the impact that that's had on our students, it's been absolutely amazing. They have grown in confidence. They love to just come and talk to us. The students coming into the school, we haven't had a chance to see that yet because obviously that's still part of our journey, except for those ones right back from our trial, I guess, our little trial sessions that we had. Those ones here we've got at school now. And of the six that we sort of met with, we have four of them started at Boys High, and we have three that are still here. And I see them on a regular basis, and they know who I am and talk to me about it all the time.
When you mentioned those early days, Rachel, you just basically wanted to have conversations. You wanted to set up, you wanted an arrangement where you could bring these boys together, where they could simply have conversations pre-training. What did you find was the difference once you brought in the official training? You know, moving from a stage where you were just, I suppose, piloting and trying things out, to move from that to the official training, students coaching students. How did you find that transition?
It was actually really positive because the boys then, because obviously we're a boys' school, they had something to focus on talking about. And they sat down and were looking at helping them come up with goals. And when we spoke to our students as well around, you know, what have you taken away from helping these boys create goals? A lot of that was actually around how it's helped them think about their own goals and how they can actually use it as well.
So, and we've seen that in a number of conversations and podcast episodes, Rachel, where the boys who are doing the coaching, there's a significant benefit, as you say, for them as well. Is that what you find?
Definitely. They have just grown with so much confidence, and the fact that they have a chance to showcase their leadership, where in the past they've never really had that from year nine. And yeah, we've got some really amazing leaders that have come out of that group, and they are in their third year of high school this year, and we can already see the potential in those in terms of looking at leadership roles in the senior school as prefects and that sort of thing as well.
So you would see, I suppose, in many ways, those transferable skills, you know, they're set up specifically, obviously, for these coaching conversations, and that's their main role. Where would you see it having benefited them outside of the coaching conversations?
Just in their ability to relate to others. So we're very particular in the fact that we don't just want all the boys that are going to put their hand up and volunteer to do everything anyway. So we've got a lot of variety in our students. We've got our gamers, we've got our really shy students, we've got our sportsmen, we've got lots and lots of different students, because when they go to those primary schools, they need to be able to engage with students who have similar interests because they are so diverse.
So you're getting a lovely mix, I suppose, of boys then that are, well, I suppose initially volunteering, but you're obviously trying to broaden that out, because yes, the young boys coming through will be, you know, a varied group, and I would imagine, yeah, you know, the interests are very much varied. So that's really helpful. Rachel, one of the aspects of our podcast interviews, and I think this is something that listeners do genuinely appreciate, is when guests like yourself come on and share their coaching journey, but more importantly, those challenges and barriers. Because I would imagine, even from those early days when you were trialing it out yourself and then you brought in the official coach training, that there's bound to have been difficulties, challenges. What would you say have been some of the main challenges in your specific context, and, you know, how have you tried to address them?
So obviously the first one was the fact that we didn't have any way of teaching them how to be coaches and have those conversations. Yeah. So we addressed that by doing the coaching. But one of the, I guess, the more challenging things, I've spoken to my staff member here about this as well, is the fact that all the schools have different timeframes. So we have 5 period days here. So 60-minute classes, and the primary schools don't run the same way. So we have to actually try and tee up with times that work at their school, times that work at our school. And we want it to be on a regular basis so that they know every Wednesday at this time their coaches are coming in. But that's been, I guess that's one of our challenges. This year we've found that as they're progressing through into senior school, some of our coaches, a couple of our older coaches they're just getting too busy to be able to continue with doing that. And they're trying to focus on, what's happening in their classroom. So making sure that you've got backups. That's one of the things we have done is at the beginning of each year, we do a catch-up session. So they train as year nines, but in year 10, we do a refresher session with them. And that's our chance to also bring in any other students that may have arrived at the school late that show potential to in this role, but also just bring in others to actually come and help with the coaching that have decided, actually, I think that would be really beneficial for me.
It's fascinating. And as you look back over that period, and it is helpful to see what the challenges were and how you addressed them. If you were to go back again to the start, knowing what you know now, would you have gone about it any differently?
I think the trial we had to do the way that we did, but now if I think back to what we started a couple of years ago, I think training more people at the time, so it wasn't just myself and one other person, because now we pretty much just have this one person and she's got very limited time herself to be able to do it. So if we could have more people able to help train our students here at school, that would make things a lot easier.
But I love the fact that even looking back on it now, you would still have a go. You know, trial a few things out yourself, because I think that's a really good message to send out to your educators, that you don't have to have everything perfect and set up before you have a go at these things. You know, set sail and adjust as you go. And I think you've done that very successfully, because a big part of learning is making mistakes and changing things and adjusting, which is what you folks have done and done very, very well. And then at the point where you feel ready, bring in some good quality training. Because as you say then, you know, it gives the boys, in this case, you know, a real focus, a real drive that they're doing something very much official then, and they've been trained as coaches. So I think that's going to be really helpful for folks who are listening in. Rachel, what are your thoughts, then on sustaining and indeed developing the role of coaching within, the Kuhiako in the years to come?
One of the things that we're looking at now is getting another staff member involved in the coaching as well, so I don't just have my one staff member that's having to run off and do everything. So that's one definite thing that we're working on and looking forward to doing. We're really looking forward to actually seeing the impact that it has on the transitions when they come in. So that will be 2026 that we'll see those students coming in, and hopefully we'll see the benefits of that. And then from there, be able to have those conversations around, again, how could we do things differently? What would they suggest that we do? Because we're very big on getting student voice. But one of the other things is, we're just focused on the boys' school here. And when we've talked to the primary schools, they've said, have you thought about doing this with the girls? Like, why can't we make a connection with Girls High? So actually taking that out to some of our other schools in the area and showing them how we're doing things to look at developing it across the whole area.
Yeah, I think that idea of broadening it out and bringing the girls on board is a great idea. Are there any thoughts at all about moving towards, you know, staff coaching within the school? I love the fact that you've jumped in and focused on the students, but, you know, are there any thoughts, you know, within the Kuhiako and on that front?
I know here as a school, we do some aspects of coaching, like we have coaches that come and work with us in the senior leadership team. And I've talked to our principal about, looking at doing that more at a teaching level as well. Yeah, so there's some thoughts around that, but at the moment our focus was on the students rather than the staff.
Yeah, and I think that's fair enough, because, you know, everybody has, you know, a different story to tell. Everybody's working within a different context, and I think at the moment there's real evidence of how impactful this has been on the boys in your school, and it's clear, and that's going to genuinely inspire people out there who are looking at coaching in general. And thinking, you know, where do we start? Because quite often people are thinking, well, we'll start with our staff and we'll move out in a certain direction. But actually here's an example. And we've had one or two others where let's start with students coaching students. And you started perfectly where you've just gone in and said, let's organise a few conversations, because that's what we want to try and improve. And I think that's been just super helpful for people who are listening in. Rachel, I genuinely want to say thank you so much for sharing your coaching journey with us today. I'm genuinely delighted that you've been able to shine a spotlight on the significant impact coaching can have on students who are transitioning from primary education into their secondary stage. I'm quite sure for many of our listeners that your experiences will certainly inspire others to look at coaching as one very plausible option to help students through difficult transitions. For our listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen in with us today. Rachel will no doubt have motivated you to consider how coaching can positively impact transitions in your specific setting. And if you'd like to find out more about students coaching students, along with a wealth of other coaching courses, check out our website at growthcoaching.com.au. You can also stay up to date with our latest news via the monthly Coach Ed update, and also read about the latest thinking in coaching and education through our twice yearly digital publication, Insights. You can subscribe right from the homepage of our website. In the meantime, I do trust you will all join me again for the next episode of Coaching and Education, where theory and good intentions meet reality.